Morning to you all. And a blessed Christmas to everyone present, especially to our visitors this morning. We're going to be talking about the greatest person and one of the greatest events in history, the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to the earth, his incarnation and what that means. And if you have any questions about Christianity, if you'd like to know more, you're welcome to approach one of the elders. But we've also just put these little booklets by the exit there and the exit over there. It's called Ultimate Questions. Questions about the Christian faith, about the reason for our existence in the world. Why do we as human beings exist? And the predicament that we're in with our alienation from God. So you are welcome to take one of these booklets for free. You don't have to pay. You don't have to tell us. Just pick it up on the way out if you'd like to know more about the faith. Please only take one if you're going to read it or you think you might read it, because they're there and there, and they're in English and in Afrikaans. Also, especially to the kids, you know, welcome to you guys this morning. Good to see kids here. And I hope that you're going to hear what we're going to say and know that this, what we're going to be talking about, is truly the greatest gift that you can ever receive, the gift of God's Son, the gift of the salvation that he offers. And I'm going to be just looking at looking at an overview of what the scriptures say about Jesus, but we're going to be reading two verses to begin with. The first, if you look in the bulletin, is from Luke chapter 1, and the second is from John chapter 1. So hear these words, and then we'll pray, and then I'll begin. Luke 1, I'm just reading halfway through verse 31 to verse 33, and then John 1 from verse 10 to verse 14. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's just pray. Our God in heaven, your Son is worthy of all praise and honor and power and glory. And our frail words fall woefully short in honoring him. But do take our meditations of heart this morning, our thoughts, and direct them towards him. May the name of Jesus Christ fill our thinking. May it govern our actions. May it demand change of us in our lives. And may it drive us to the place of worship. May he be boldly proclaimed in churches across our land. May his influence be seen in the lives of his servants, we who follow him. May his claims be faced up to, and may his spirit work still, for your name's sake. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. In all the histories of all the peoples, Has there ever been anyone like him? His coming was foretold at the dawn of history. Kings, prophets, shepherds, nomads all spoke of him. He is the offspring of the woman in Genesis, the Passover lamb of Exodus, the great prophet of Deuteronomy. He is the branch of Jesse, the desire of nations spoken of by Haggai, the son of righteousness spoken of by the prophet Malachi. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Daniel saw him and called him the Ancient of Days. Joshua saw him and knew him as the commander of the armies of the Lord. David called him the Eternal Priest and the King of Glory. And Isaiah called him Emmanuel, God with us. And his arrival into the world was unlike any of any other human being. He was conceived not of a man, but of the Holy Spirit of God. He was born of a young teenage girl named Mary, who was yet a virgin. He was born in a tiny little village called Bethlehem, rejected by the innkeeper and consigned to a foul stable, laid in a feeding trough as his manger. When this Jesus Christ entered the world did not know him. Though ancient beyond time, he came as a newborn baby feeding from his mother's breast. Though rich beyond measure, he was born into poverty. Though having a name that is above every other name, he came into a family that made no name for themselves. And yet, at his birth, choirs of angels filled the skies to sing for joy. The wisest of men came from the east to pay him homage, and humble shepherds became his first witnesses. Was there ever a birth like his? As an infant, Herod tried to murder him. As a boy, learned academics were amazed by his knowledge. As a man, the world was divided by him. He was raised the son of a carpenter without wealth or influence, and for most of his earthly life he was content to remain unrecognized. Then, at the age of 30, he was baptized by John, the greatest prophet to have ever lived, and yet John himself declared himself unworthy even to untie or tie the sandals that he wore. He was publicly declared to be the beloved Son of the Most High God by a voice that thundered from heaven. He was confirmed to be such by the Holy Spirit who descended upon him like a dove. And then he was mercilessly tempted by Satan himself. But like no other, this Jesus Christ of whom I speak lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law where all of us have failed. He felt the full force of temptation where all of us have long since given in. And he consistently, for every second of his life, for every moment of his existence, upheld the greatest commandment to love God with all his heart, without the slightest deviation within him. Can anyone else in history make such a claim? Can you? Perhaps you might have expected him to gather around him an entourage of celebrities, of politicians, of men and women of power and influence, of super saints, of scientists, of academics, of philosophers, of experts, of the religious elite. But he didn't. He called to himself the lowly, the common, the despised, the sinful. His disciples were fishermen, religious terrorists, tax collectors, and hotheads. For Jesus, they left everything. And for Jesus, they were ultimately going to die praising his name. In an age where women were treated as second-class citizens, this Jesus gave honor to women like no other. In an age when his disciples were trying to shoo away the children that were coming near as a distracting nuisance on him, Jesus gathered them in his arms and blessed them. when those around him gave in to the racist, nationalistic tendencies of the age, Jesus did not. He honored the repentant faith of all that came to him, even a hated Roman centurion, a scandalous prostitute, an adulterous Samaritan, and a Gentile widow. Has there ever been anyone who loved as he loved? And what can we say of his power? The raw elemental fury of storms were hushed by his voice. Demons fled from his presence with their tails between their proverbial legs. Men dead for days were raised to life and fullness of health by his very command. He healed a paralytic by the power of just his word. He made the blind from birth to see the color and splendors of creation. He unblocked the ears of the deaf to hear music and voices. And he even empowered his 12 disciples to go and do likewise. When surrounded by the hungry, this Jesus Christ duplicated the act of creation itself by taking from a small handful of fish and loaves to reproduce it to feed 5,000 men in one day. When a woman who was hemorrhaging severely simply reached out to touch his robe, just to touch him, she was healed by his power. When desperate parents and friends came to him, he could heal from a distance without even going to the one whom he was healing, without ever seeing the one who was to be his patient. And yet he would also reach out and touch with his own hand the dreaded leper, and make their skin smooth and clean. What should be your response to this person of such power? Would you hear his voice? Would you hear what he had to say? Then you should know that he spoke as none ever before him. He confounded his enemies, and with very great ease he navigated through all their tricks and deception. He solved age-old debates of the time with incontrovertible answers. He spoke words of grace and comfort that astounded his hearers, and he taught with such insight that even those sent to arrest him left in silence, stunned, saying, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks." And yet his teaching also produced a violent hatred. You see, he tore down the facades of self-righteousness and stripped away the masks of hypocrisy. He explained the law of the Old Testament in a way that leaves terrifying implications for humanity. And he used all the words that people are too politically correct to speak to this day. Judgment, sin, everlasting death, hell, repentance. And he said them all without the slightest hesitation or apology. In fact, he spoke more graphically on hell than anyone who came before him, this Jesus Christ. But that which most offended his hearers was who he claimed to be. He is one with the Father, one with the Spirit. He is the chief cornerstone, the root of David, the blessing of Abraham. He is the Son of Man and the eternally begotten Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King before whom all the universe will bow, Master, Savior, Rabbi, the Way, the Word become flesh, the Light, the Truth, the Door. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection. He is the great I Am, Jehovah. He is the Rock, the second Adam, the Deliverer. He is the Good Shepherd, the True Vine, the Just One. He is the Judge into whose hands all judgment has been given. He is the Head of the Church. He is our Peace. He is the One Mediator between God and man. He is the Captain of our salvation, the author and finisher of our faith, and an advocate for sinners. He is the first from the dead, the faithful and true witness. He is the great high priest that replaces all others. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The fullness of God in bodily form. And so the world hated him. Though he had committed no crimes, spoken no lies, sowed no sedition, he was betrayed and abandoned and then crucified on a Roman cross where he died in agony. Yet even in death, there were three testimonies to the greatness of his person. A thief crucified next to this Jesus looked at his hideous, bleeding, tortured face and upon his weak, broken, naked body. And at that moment, he said, Lord. At that moment. The Roman centurion who oversaw Jesus' execution gazed up at his own handiwork and said with horror, surely this man the Son of God. And in the moment of his dying, darkness covered the land, the earth shook, the veil in the most holy place of the temple was torn in two, and dead, long dead people were raised to life. Was there ever a death like his? And it wasn't a miscalculation on his part. It was his intention to offer his very own body as a sacrifice for the sins of men and women and children. And on the third day following the death, he was raised to life. He was conquering death. And he put upon his testimony, his witness, the final seal of affirmation. All his claims were vindicated in the moment of his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, this was witnessed. This was documented. These truths are the very things the martyrs who saw him went to their deaths speaking of and praising God's name for. In all of history, is there anyone like Jesus Christ? He rallied no armies. He fought no wars. He erected no monuments. He penned no manifestos. As someone has said, he never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world could not hold the books about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters together. He never founded a college, and yet all the schools together cannot boast as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, and yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors have healed broken bodies. Throughout history, great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him, Satan could not seduce him, death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He offers the forgiveness of sins to the world in his name. Acceptance with God on his merit, eternal life in his kingdom. He spoke of heaven, of peace with God, of the cleansing of your and my most vile sins, of a conscience cleaned, of guilt removed, and how through believing on his name and his work on your behalf, by becoming one of his disciples and living a life of faith and repentance. This Jesus Christ, it is his birth that we remember this Christmas morning. He is more personal than a closest friend and sticks closer than a brother. And yet now he is largely ignored in favor of a fictional fat man in a red suit. He is of greater value than all the treasures of the earth, and to him belongs the inheritance of all the nations.
And yet the culture in which we live seems more concerned with the boost that he can give to the economy. What think ye of Christ? What is this Jesus Christ to you? He is worth more than anything you can desire. He is not a mere Christmassy sentiment. This Jesus Christ, of whom I have been so privileged to speak to you this morning, is both living and real. As one preacher has said, there is none more worthy of his glory, none more worthy of honor, none more deserving of unquestioned and unqualified allegiance. For him there is no sacrifice too great to make. There is nothing not worth surrendering to him. He should be the object of our strongest affections and feelings. I ask again, what think ye of this Jesus Christ? What is Jesus Christ to you? And equally important, what are you before him? Come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden. Receive the forgiveness of a lifetime of sins against him. Escape from the wrath to come. And find purpose in living as his worshipper. Have everlasting life in the world to come. As C.S. Lewis, the author and philosopher, the writer of the Narnia series that are recently more popular, as he has said, you must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. If anything that I have said this morning, if 1 ounce of it has in some way touched you, to use the expression, made a tiny shred of impact on your thinking, then you don't need me to tell you what you need to do next. Come to him. Let us pray. Our God, we remember the words of Jesus Christ as he came to the city in which he was to die. And as he heard the praises of people who would shortly also be crying out, crucify him. How he said, I tell you, were these silent, the very stones would cry out. Our Lord and our Savior, you are worthy of all honor and all praise. We worship you this morning. We offer our feeble, humble, distracted sometimes praise. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for the gift of the incarnation and the gift of the cross, the gift of the gospel and the gift of eternal life. Grant, Lord, grant, God, that this day, that these wonderful truths would have some effect by your Spirit upon the hearts of the lost. And may they stir those whom are your children to greater acts of worship, that you might receive all the glory. Amen.